from Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Joe Palka reporting. UN responds to North Korea.
His abusive use of missiles and his nuclear threats show that he is begging for war.
That's the voice of the United States Ambassador to the new UN, Nikki Haley, talking about Kim Jong-un as she spoke today before the UN Security Council.
We have taken an incremental approach, and despite the best of intentions, it has not worked.
The UN Security Council is holding emergency talks today following North Korea's largest nuclear test to date. Amid reports that Pyongyang is preparing to test another ballistic missile, Ms. Haley conveys policy here not limited to the country of Kim Jong-un.
The United States will look at every country that does business with North Korea as a country that is giving aid to their reckless and dangerous nuclear intentions. And what we do on North Korea will have a real impact on how other outlaw nations who seek nuclear weapons choose to conduct themselves in the future. The stakes could not be higher. The urgency is now.
Ambassador Haley said the U.S. does not want war, but our patience is not unlimited. U.S. President Donald Trump and his counterpart in Seoul on Monday agreed to lift payload restrictions on South Korean missiles and push for even stronger sanctions at the United Nations against North Korea. South Korean President Moon Jae-in is also calling for the United Nations to consider blocking oil shipments to the North, that according to government officials in Seoul. Unknown gunmen in southwestern Pakistan ambushed a security forces convoy, killing at least three soldiers and injuring three others on Monday. Local authorities said the convoy of the paramilitary Frontier Corps was returning from a counterinsurgency operation when it was attacked in a remote district of Baluchistan province. This is VOA News. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi is in Myanmar for meetings today with leader Aung San Suu Kyi, as well as the country's military commander and the national security advisor, to discuss the ongoing crisis in Rakhine State. The UN Refugee Agency says 87,000 Rohingya have fled from Rakhine to neighboring Bangladesh since an eruption of violence late last month. The influx has left aid agencies struggling to keep up with demands for supplies and medical care. Kenya's opposition leader Raila Odinga says his coalition would not share power 2 days after the Supreme Court annulled presidential election results, citing irregularities. Incumbent President Uhuru Kenyatta, who won last month's polling over Odinga, said his party would not share power with the opposition. Kenya's constitution says fresh elections must be held within 60 days. After months of negotiations, the Colombian government has reached a ceasefire deal with the country's last active guerrilla group, the National Liberation Army. The announcement was made in Quito, neighboring Ecuador's capital, where talks were being held on the eve of Pope Francis's visit to Colombia. FARC, Colombia's largest rebel group, signed a peace deal with the government last year, largely ending five decades of war. An Iranian appeals court has upheld 10-year jail terms against a U.S. citizen, two Iranian Americans, and a U.S. resident from Lebanon who earlier had been convicted on spying charges. Indiana University analyst Hussein Banai sees this as a victory for hardliners in Iran who have a twofold purpose.
Leverage their differences with the United States, especially as Washington ratchets up its talk against the terms of the nuclear deals or Iran's violations of the terms of the nuclear deals. This is one way to put more bargaining chips on the table by the hardline judiciary.
And Banai said it's designed to keep the government of President Hassan Rouhani and its relations with the West in check. Sunday was a day of prayer in the U.S. state of Texas following the devastation wrought by Hurricane Harvey, which came ashore August 25th, leaving more than 40 dead and tens of thousands homeless. Congress is considering initial funding at nearly $8 billion, but Texas Governor Greg Abbott said the price tag will likely exceed that of another powerful storm, Hurricane Katrina, from a dozen years ago.
Katrina cost, if I recall, more than $120 billion. When you look at the number of homes and businesses affected by this, I think this will cost well over $120 billion, probably $150 to $180 billion.
Climate change will dominate discussions when the leaders of Pacific nations hold their annual meeting in the Samoan capital this week. The 18-member Pacific Islands Forum includes countries such as Kiribati and Tuvalu, which are only meters above sea level and risk being swamped by oceans. Joe Palka reporting from Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.